All right, welcome to the Social Scoop. I'm Taylor, the head of Ice Cream Social Media. We also have Matthew, our head of paid ads, Allison, our lead content creator, and Caitlin, another one of our amazing content creators, joining me today. In today's episode, we're diving into what's happening on social media so far in 2025. One major shift that we've been seeing is it's becoming increasingly more important to pay to play on socials. Matthew, take it away.
Yeah, so a couple of days ago, I was just looking into random statistics for specifically Facebook because I work a lot in paid ads. And one of the ones that I saw, even though it doesn't necessarily have to do with my wheelhouse, was that Facebook organic reach in January was all the way down to 1.41%, which is really, really low. I think that like 5 years ago, it was at least at the double digits. But to like kind of put that in perspective, it's like if you have 10,000 followers, a 1.41 engage or reach means that only 141 of your followers saw your post, which is kind of astounding to me, especially because I don't work in the organic field. First of all, does that like sound right with what you guys kind of see with your clients? Like, does that line up, plus or minus a little bit percent?
I agree.
Yeah, and on top of that, it was like the engagement rate was even worse at like 0.2%. So it's kind of crazy. So that made me be like, oh, but let me kind of look into this a little bit more. And Meta's straight up confirmed it. They're like, yeah, organic reach is definitely going down. Their reasoning behind it, so they say, is to like cut down on spam and to really only make sure that like the highest quality content is showing. Seems suspicious that even for like the best profiles out there that have really good content, that their reach is still that far down. So I tend to be a little skeptical of that reasoning. That coupled with how much money people are giving Facebook for ads, like it's like $234 billion in advertising spend in 2024, and in a decade it's supposed to go up like another 100 mil. $100 billion, not $1 million, but yeah, it's kind of insane to see organic go down that much while they're making so much money on the back end. And they keep introducing paid platforms, started with Facebook ads and then boosted posts now even more so. And they're really shady with kind of how they present boosted posts. I've tried to look up, placements for paid versus organic. And they're somewhat open about saying, hey, it's about 20 to 25% of your feed is going to be actual Facebook ads, but they don't say where boosted posts fall into that. Like, are boosted posts paid ads because you pay for them, or are they organic because they were originally organic posts that you're just kind of paying to get bumped up? Since they're not really being so transparent about that, I'm more inclined to believe that it's, in the organic slot. So anytime someone pays, they're just kind of paying to get bumped up in the organic placement, not to, go with the rest of the paid people. So yeah, that's kind of what I've been seeing. And have you guys experienced, what kind of success have you seen with like paid stuff with boosted posts compared to just the regular old organic stuff?
Yeah, I'd say the boosted posts definitely give content a leg up, and it definitely performs better than the organic. And I think the pages that are doing boosted posts rather than just doing organic are ranking better overall. So I think that kind of is in line with what we're seeing that, the paid content is becoming more and more prevalent on people's feeds, and people are getting rewarded more for paying. So it's definitely interesting to see how they're kind of making up people's feeds and the breakdown of those things.
I think it's also important to note that there could be the potential of Meta punishing you if you start to do this pay for play, pay to play, and you start paying for boosted posts and then you stop. They might punish you for stopping that and make your reach go down.
Yeah, I've seen nothing like official from Meta saying that, but I've seen a lot of stuff like on social media forums, on Reddit and stuff like that, of people that are like, yeah, I stopped boosting my posts and I used to get like a reach of 200 people, and it tanked down, not to nothing, but it's lower now than it was before I started boosting. So it's definitely a thing of once they get the hooks in you for boosted posts, they really want to keep that hook in. But yeah, like other than that, I've seen some other kind of trends as I was looking around, and I know that like long form content is really kind of starting to rise up again. I know that people were all like, keep it short. TikTok brain is here to stay and no one can pay attention, but it seems like it's kind of going in the opposite direction, right, Taylor?
Yeah, I've been seeing this a lot. I feel like, just like you just said, Matthew, it's been such a short and snappy videos, really quick captions, just kind of playing into, I think, the attention span of people on social media since they're consuming so much content. Everybody was kind of thinking things that were a few seconds long were kind of the best, which again, that can still be good, but we've definitely kind of seen a shift into longer form content coming back as well. And I think it's important for businesses and creators to know that they can take advantage of this shift no matter what industry they're in. And again, this does not mean that short form content is dying. It's kind of good to have a balance between the two and being able to differentiate the kind of content that you're posting and deciding whether it should be short form or should be long form. And kind of what I've seen is this demand for that long form content is kind of just about people wanting to get more out of what they're seeing. They, of course, like the trends, they like the fun stuff, but they're kind of wanting more depth and more information about certain things. And that, of course, can't be shown in a 6 second video. You know, if you're actually trying to learn about something or kind of go deeper on a topic, it's obviously just not possible in a shorter amount of time. And I think that there have been some impressive stats too that have come out about this. I mean, viewers have watched over 400 million hours of podcasts per month on YouTube TV's app alone. Just on there, people are loving, you know, podcasts, of course, to be able to listen to, but more and more people are watching them as well and kind of getting that connectivity feel, being able to see the speakers, see what they're saying, and kind of the same on Spotify. Apparently, more than 250 million users are streaming those just in the first 5 months of the year last year. So that's kind of a crazy number. That's a lot of people wanting to sit and listen to stuff. Because again, podcasts aren't quick either. So with this, Instagram's kind of, I think, taking these stats and kind of looking on how they can also utilize this. So some things that they're really working on is pushing reels to be longer. I'm sure you guys might have seen, but they've changed their 90-second time limit to 3 minutes. So it kind of does allow you to, again, just dive a little bit deeper, make your educational content kind of more in depth, and especially if you're doing tutorials or things like that, it kind of makes it more versatile on the platform there as well. And also, they've even increased their carousel limit. So if you're posting still photos and you're swiping through, they change that to up to 20 images as well. So that's not video, but it is something that kind of just keeps users more engaged and has them on your posts for longer. Which is just another thing that kind of make things a little bit longer and not as quick to view. But what about you guys? Have you guys seen this kind of longer form content shift with your clients or just as you've been scrolling on social media?
Oh, absolutely, especially on TikTok because they now have that 10-minute feature. And I know a lot of creators just automatically start with that time limit. They don't even start with 60 seconds.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. A lot of our clients specifically are doing more deep dive content and really getting into certain topics. And people are really interested. They want to learn, they want to watch it, and it's really performing well for people.
Yeah, I definitely see it as a good thing for I only really work on the brand stuff for our company, and especially for John and Ed, who very much like to talk. When the reels kind of limit got extended, I was very happy about that because I didn't have to cut out nearly as much of their talking. But I've definitely seen it just on my feed of, even on TikTok, like you said, with like a 10-minute length. I'll be watching a video and I'm like, surely this is close to done. And I look down, it's like, no, this is halfway done. Okay.
I actually watched a 18-minute police body cam video on TikTok the other day, and I didn't realize it until I was in the comments and someone said, "I can't believe I just watched an 18-minute video on TikTok." I was like, "Oh my gosh." So,
You basically watch an episode of TV just on TikTok.
pretty much.
Literally. It was like an episode of Cops right
Yeah.
there, just right on TikTok.
Yep.
Yeah, totally. I'm seeing the same thing. I think it's helpful and people can definitely utilize this. Another thing too is I think that people are kind of making better use of captions as well and kind of doing that microblog style a little bit more again. I know that was bigger when social media first started and people pretty much were only doing blogging. And then when social media came around, they were kind of using captions to incorporate that blog style into it. And I think people are kind of doing that more as well. And kind of a rule of thumb that we like to say here at Ice Cream Social Media, if we do have a video that is longer and has a lot of information in it, we do try to keep our caption shorter just because, people are already tuning into the video. They're gaining a lot of information listening to the video anyway. So that's not really the time to be posting a super long caption because then it's, someone just might be overwhelmed. They might just keep scrolling, but having that balance is great. And if you do want to do more of a micro blog style caption, that's a great time to kind of have a shorter video. Again, it doesn't have to be 3 seconds where it doesn't make sense, but maybe it does make sense for it to be just a handful of seconds. And then you have the majority of the information in that caption. So it's really just finding that balance between short and long form, but definitely making sure you're taking advantage of it as we have seen this kind of skyrocket lately and also perform really well. It's not even just that they offer it. These things are being pushed out. They're wanting to see it. And people are getting great engagement and reach by taking advantage of these, again, when it does make sense. So I would say just a kind of couple ways that companies and businesses can leverage this too. When it comes to the carousels that now can be up to 20 images, it's kind of a great way to show that photo dump kind of style a little bit if it is for something a little bit more personal. Or maybe stuff going on in your business, and just kind of show an overall vibe throughout the photos, but just little snippets there. Or you can do it kind of as a step-by-step guide if you're explaining something. There's endless options there to make it easier. And then with the longer reels that can go up to 3 minutes, that's great for providing value and, answering frequently asked questions that you get. Talking about something specific in your business and just making sure you're really taking advantage of that time while making sure you're not rambling at the same time. And now, with this, we kind of talked about, Instagram making things longer, TikTok too. And so I do want to pass it over, Caitlin. I know that you've been seeing a lot with TikTok. We've all seen things about a potential TikTok ban, not really sure where that's going. So just wanted to talk about that a little bit as well.
Yeah, so one of the biggest things we're all seeing in 2025, whether you're in the social media industry or not, is the TikTok ban. Because, yeah, that's still up in the air. And so we're learning that we can't put all of our eggs into one basket. And so, what do I mean by that? I mean that you need to diversify your strategy and be present on more than one social media platform. And so now it might seem easy to just be on one social media platform because you can put all your energy in it, into it, you can put all your time into it. But there's actually more risks involved with that than there are rewards. One of them being, like I said, platforms can disappear overnight. If TikTok does get banned, about 170 million users and businesses will be left scrambling. A report from CNBC states that small businesses could lose around 1.3 billion with a B in revenue in just 1 month. So that's a huge wake-up call for businesses that they can't just rely on one social media platform. Another is that algorithm changes can wreck your reach. So even if a platform doesn't disappear overnight, it can change overnight. I'm sure we all remember when Instagram decided to prioritize reels instead of photos. Or when Facebook basically forced everyone to start paying for their reach. So what we're learning is the algorithm is completely out of our control, and that's what makes it risky. And it can tank your visibility until you make those necessary changes that make the algorithm happy. So if one platform isn't seeing the results you want, you can rely on all your other platforms until you make that algorithm happy again. Another would be that you don't own your audience. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, they own your followers, not you. So if they decide to limit your reach, raise prices, or tweak their rules, you're pretty much stuck. So in addition to being on multiple different platforms, that's why it's also important to have things like an email list or a website, because these are some of the only channels of communication that you do own, and you don't have to worry about stuff like that. So now that we know the risks that are involved with only using one platform, let's talk about why a multi-platform strategy is the way to go. So the first would be more visibility is more growth. So different platforms attract different audiences, as we've learned. Maybe your TikTok crowd loves fast and funny content, while your Instagram crowd maybe prefers more educational posts. Why limit yourself? Do both. The next would be better SEO, because yes, Google actually does care if you're on social media. Active profiles across multiple platforms can help you show up in search results, meaning people can find you outside of social media. And then the other big one that we're all talking about, it protects you from sudden shutdowns. If TikTok or any platform for that matter were to disappear tomorrow, do you have a backup plan? What is your backup plan? Brands already posting on Reels, YouTube Shorts, and even email newsletters will have an easier time pivoting than those who don't. And then, since the fate of TikTok is still up in the air, we did do our research for you, so you don't have to. Some of the top alternatives that we found for TikTok, the first would be Instagram Reels, obviously. The next would be YouTube Shorts. And when asked, 67% of creators said they saw Instagram as the best alternative for growing their audience, while 22% cited YouTube. So if you're not already on these platforms, if you don't already have presence, we absolutely recommend you start today, right now, as soon as you click off this podcast. So now that we know why going multi-platform is so important, let's hop over to Allison. She's going to talk to us about how to actually make the strategy work.
Yeah, so we obviously get these questions from our clients all the time. What platform should I be on? Should I be on all of them? Do I just make one post and post it to all these different platforms? And the thing to remember is that not every platform is going to work for every brand. And that's okay, right? Because they have different audiences. They work better for different demographics. Obviously, their algorithms are all different, and you're going to get different results with different types of content. So what you really just have to do is, think about your goals and find out where your audience hangs out, and then those are the platforms that you mainly want to focus on. Because you also have to consider, people don't have unlimited budgets and they don't have unlimited time. Obviously, having a strategy for every single platform would be way too much. No one wants to do that. So for most people, just focusing on a select few that really work for your goals and your audience is going to be the way to go. So what you want to do is make sure you're customizing your content for each individual app. Obviously, they all kind of have a different vibe. Instagram is a little more polished and curated and is really good for building your community. TikTok is more fun and casual, and that's good for engagement. LinkedIn is very professional and polished, and it's mainly focused on building connections within your industry. So you want to tailor your content for those specific things. And you can always repurpose things. This doesn't mean that you have to create completely different posts and photos and videos for each thing, but you want to be tailoring this content if you are repurposing it for each specific app, focusing your captions on different things and different demographics, your hashtags, because hashtags work differently between, say, Instagram and TikTok, your video length, how you're editing things, all of those things can be tweaked to perform better on specific apps.
You're talking about the kind of the different audiences that all of them have, all the platforms have with like IG, TikTok, and LinkedIn. It reminded me of Seminar, when I've had several surgeons come up to me and be like, I know that I gotta go on TikTok, but I can't do the dances. Like, I don't want to do the dances. And I every single time I have to be like, why do you think you have to dance? I know that like some people do, and they're like, but it's TikTok. I'm like, I get it, but like that's not, don't do it if you don't want to dance. Now, if you secretly want to dance and you're just lying to me right now, then you should definitely dance. But if you genuinely don't want to, don't dance, please.
Yeah, I've also gotten that question all the time. It's like, oh, but like, I don't want to dance. It's like, you don't have to. It's not all about dancing.
We're not twisting
Any
your
other
arm
thing?
to dance.
Yeah. So, of course, having all these different strategies for different apps can be a little bit chaotic and hard to keep track of. So, that's where using tools like Sprout Social, Hootsuite, Later, things like that can really come in handy. And, of course, making sure that you have a skilled either social media manager on your team or an agency like us. We can really help you manage all these things and make sure your strategies are the best for each platform. And of course, like Caitlin said, you also really want to have your backups in place. So your email and SMS marketing, because that way, if anything ever happens with your social media, you never know if you could get hacked or restricted or banned, because these things do happen. That way, you have a backup to still reach your audience. If those things ever were to happen, obviously we don't want them to, but again, you never know. And you're basically at the mercy of these apps, and they can just cut you off without warning. So it's great to have those kind of backup insurance policies in place.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people think of those like as strictly as backups, but like even excluding what happens to like a social media platform, they're both just really good marketing channels. Like especially for SMS, like if you're in the aesthetics field, if someone like drops their date, like they can't make it to whatever procedure they have going on, if you just send out like a bulk text of like, hey, we got a spot open, like 95% of the time, someone is gonna snag that position up, and then you're not losing that spot anymore. And same with email, like it's got a better conversion rate than most social media platforms. So it's great to have your own audience just in case something happens to a social media platform, but also like we can't discount just how good they actually are, even though they're still kind of looked at as the old dog.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I think in this day and age, you kind of have to have those very core like foundations of your marketing, like your website, at least a couple social media platforms, and text and email. Like those things really everyone should be doing, I think.
Yeah, and just like you were saying, they can be good backups in case things happen, but they all do also have their own strengths and kind of reasons behind them. So yeah, exactly like Matthew was saying, kind of having it all is super, super important.
Yeah, so this kind of takes me into my next point that, you know, not only, of course, is it important to have your multi-platform and multi-channel strategies, but you just have to be able to pivot at any time, essentially. Like Caitlin kind of touched on, you know, algorithms can change, things can happen. So you have to be ready for those things and be able to adapt your strategy to continue to stay on the cutting edge and still get those good results. And also, just in general, either you or your skilled social media manager or team should just always be, you know, keeping their finger on the pulse of the social media industry, you know, having an ear out for new developments that are happening, things that are going on with different apps, you know, what apps are kind of more up and coming and which ones are on their way out. For example, something that we've been seeing lately is what I like to call the Exodus. The app X that was formerly Twitter, as most people know, is kind of on the decline. A lot of users are no longer using the app. And then we're seeing, as a result, an increase in kind of the competition apps like Blue Sky, which is pretty new, and also Threads. Those have been growing and kind of rising in the ranks. So it's important to be able to recognize these new apps coming up, be able to learn them, see what's going on, develop strategies, and get active on them if that makes sense for your business.
At the very least, grab your profile name so no one else does.
Yes, that's a
So
great
that can
point.
stay consistent.
Yeah, you
True.
really just need to be paying attention to what's going on. It's more than just putting your posts up and never paying attention and, not being active in the world of social media and, being subscribed to different social media newsletters or podcasts, always learning and researching. It's super important. A recent study showed that marketers that are using social listening reported a higher percentage of confidence in their ROI on every single social media platform compared to marketers that weren't doing social listening. So that's another thing that's super big, and we're seeing that becoming more and more important. You just have to be on the cutting edge. You have to know what's going on, and you have to be involved.
Thanks everyone for taking the time to listen to the Social Scoop. To hear more of our thoughts, feel free to check out our Instagram account at the username @icecreamsocialmedia and our blog on our website. If you have any questions about the topics we talked about today or anything else regarding social media, email us at getthescoop@icecreamsocialmedia.com. See you next time.